and I hope you understand what I mean by that distinction. I have to somewhat go into that a bit, because otherwise, because these scriptures lead many astray. Because they'll take these, and they like the sound of Jesus loves everybody better than they like the sound of what I just said. They don't like that sound. They say, that doesn't, you know, I've got itching ears, and I want to heap to myself teachers that are going to tell me things I want to hear. And so when people isolate certain verses like this and then ignore other scriptures that make it clear that you can't interpret this scripture that way, there are a lot of people out there willing to hear them, and they want to hear them. They want to hear it that way because that's the story they want to believe in. They don't want to believe in the truth. They want to believe in a fable, in an extra-biblical perversion, which is not the truth. We have to take the things that are strong and make strong doctrines out of them. This is weak. You can't make something strong out of this. As far as you can't make your doctrine strong out of it. I mean, I can make something strong. I mean, it's a strong statement. He is a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Not just for the sins of, you know, Jews and the Gentiles who had heard so far. Anyways, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, the commandment to love one another, I had begun to talk about that, right? It is more than just making other people feel good. It's more than just love thy neighbor as thyself. It is more than just rebuking people. Because everything we do, do you understand that me not being drunk, some people would probably get this right off the bat, you know, that me not being a drunkard, me being sober, is a way of loving my neighbor. You know what I mean? Because I'm not a social problem now, you know. I mean, and so, but it is also in the sense of love your God. Because God, and then so everything that God loves becomes part of this commandment. The commandments of Jesus, in all the things he taught, I mean, he taught a much stricter law than the Old Testament. And even in the rest of the New Testament, it's made abundantly clear that the law we live under is much more strict than the Old Testament. There's a much, much more strict code of behavior. And oddly enough, Christians have this reputation as being sort of licentious. It's because of the doctrines which teach that, hey, if you say you're not a sinner, you're a liar. That's not what it says. See, it says there are a lot of scriptures that say you were once the servants of sin, but now you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. And you've become something entirely different. Now you serve righteousness. Now you serve godliness. We don't want to profit in the things of the world, but we want to profit in the things of God. And this is, you know, the way in which we approach the commandments of Christ is, yeah, it's fulfilled in one commandment or two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And in that, you pretty much get all the law. But that includes, thou shalt not, you know, look at a woman with lust in your eyes. That includes, thou shalt not lust after food. That should includes a lot of other lusts and a lot of other desires, which either fall under the heading of thou shalt love thy neighbor and thou shalt love thy God. So all those things fall into that, because whoso keepeth his word, in him is the love of God perfected. That's another thing. Love perfected, you know, made complete. Yeah, I don't think I necessarily have that, but I see it growing. And that should be everyone's goals. I know a lot of people, they say they're Christians, but it's like, I'm like, boy, I just don't see it. I don't see it in the way their fruit is. I don't see it the way they're living. And I know there's plenty of people who look at me and think the same thing. But our light is supposed to shine before men. We are supposed to let our light shine before men. Not hide it under a basket or hide it under a cloak of maliciousness. But people do hide it, and it is hidden. So to that extent, it's like it has to be visible. God has to help us make it visible. He has to help make it perfect. keeping the word of Christ and the word of God, which is not just the Gospels, but also all the teachings of his apostles, because he appointed them to teach. He appointed them to continue in his doctrine. All those things are very important if we are to continue in the doctrine of Christ. And if we are to have the love of God perfected in us, we must have all those things. I want the love of God perfected. As James said, I want to let patience have its perfect work, that I could be perfect. Now, I know what people are, perfect, that's kind of far out. Well, I don't mean necessarily perfect in every way. Ultimately, that can't be achieved until I die. But I can achieve perfect love while I yet live. That's the whole point, is I want the love of God to be perfected. I can have patience have its perfect work. I can have all kinds of things have their perfect work by faith and the promises of God, and then God delivers on those promises. That is the mechanism by which we obtain these things. And we have to walk in them. It's not just something that is an empty promise. These are promises that actually we need to expect are going to be fulfilled. I have this hope, this belief, this expectation in God that he is going to fulfill his word in me. Not just declare me righteous and then call it a day. That's pathetic. I don't want to have any part of that gospel. Because that's the gospel that's out there. They say, you know, God just declares you righteous because you believe and welcome to heaven. I'm sorry. I just don't find that very appealing at all. You know, it's funny. All this talk about perfection in the Bible, and Gandhi's impression was that he never wanted to be a Christian because he thought it left, because of what people taught him about Christianity, that it left the people who believed in it not perfected, never perfected. Now, obviously, there are some things which they would understand that, you know, I can't be perfected in body, meaning I might still have wear corrective lenses and, I have a toe that's crooked from an injury. Maybe till my dying day when I walk up a stair and I kind of groggy or something like that, I'll hit that last stair and whoop, you know, right? Thinking there was nothing there or thinking there was something there, take that extra step into nothingness. You know, those kind of, that sort of bodily perfection, perfect in every way, is not accomplished in the flesh, but certainly the perfection of righteousness can be accomplished in the flesh. The perfection of the love of God can be accomplished in the flesh because God says so. He didn't promise me. I have an example in the Apostle Paul. Paul had this infirmity in the flesh, and he asked God to have it